Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Are you ready?
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another edition of Amp Radio, of course, brought to you by the Amp Radio Network. This, my friends, is a combo show. Watch out. We've done this once before. We're going to do it again, bringing you not only Smack My Picks Up edition of Amp Radio, but also Proteus's primetime show. Welcome to it. My name is Proteus. I am your host for this evening. And, of course, I am lucky enough to be joined by the star of Smack My Picks Up, Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, ¿qué pasa?
¿Qué pasa? How are you, Marco? You doing all right?
Like I was telling you guys before, I got a baby girl that is forcing, you know, feeling well, keeping me up all night. So, yeah, if I sound like groggy and kind of sort of drunk, it's not because I've been drinking, it's because it's lack of sleep.
Well, also, I wanted to say happy birthday to your son, 7 years old. Happy birthday to him.
Yeah, he got a huge party on Saturday. So it was a party outside on the jar, on me watching the flies on the inside. He turned 7 on Sunday. So it was a combo celebration, Mother's Day, his last birthday for my son. He had fun, man. It was pretty cool this weekend.
Well, excellent to hear. Also, guys, we are lucky to be joined by a special guest who doesn't actually ever get to be a guest on this show, but of course is a staple of the Amp Radio Network. You know who I'm talking about, the big boss man himself. Let's bring him in right now. DJ Tony. Boss man, are you there?
Gentlemen, my line is bad. How the hell did I get to headline over Marco? Let's be honest, he's the star.
I introduced him as the star, and your line is not bad. We can hear you loud and clear, DJ Tony.
Sure, all right, but hold on. How the heck do I get to be behind Marco? Wait a second.
Hey, hey, wow. Nobody's behind me, bro. Nobody's behind me. It's all right. I give you the red corner just this time. It's a special occasion. Just this time you got the red corner.
How about that? I got the Conor McGregor card right now, guys.
A special appearance by DJ Tony on the show. Of course, worlds are definitely colliding right now, ladies and gentlemen, on Amp Radio. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to basically do a little Smack My Picks Up for Bellator McDonald versus Daly. That is Bellator 179, as I have learned just recently. Basically, we're going to cover three fights on the main event, and then we're going to take the baby slice fight, and we're going to break that down to hopefully. And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to get into the news and notes of the week. These gentlemen have some very interesting topics that they would like to get into. That is the world of MMA for this week. So just to give you guys a breakdown, that is what we're going to talk about tonight. We welcome you all to the show. If you're listening live or you're listening on the podcast, we appreciate you. If you could do us a favor, rate, subscribe, we'd appreciate it. Okay, boys, and let's get into it. Bellator McDonald versus Paul Daly. Rory McDonald making his first appearance in Bellator. Of course, the Red King coming in at 18 wins, 4 losses, 0 draws. Again, as I mentioned, This is his first fight in Bellator, and of course he's going up against your boy, DJ Tony, Paul Daly, who of course is a wily veteran, coming in at 39 wins, 14 losses, and 2 draws. All right, guys, I'm going to throw this to Marco first because, I mean, this is a very exciting fight, and this is the reason why we're doing the show tonight, because Marco was hounding us yesterday saying, we got to do a show about Bellator. We got to get Rory McDonald, Paul Daly on the airwaves. So, Marco, I throw it to you. Smack My Picks Up edition of Bellator 179. What you got, Rory McDonald, Paul Daly?
Okay, so starting from the top, I tell you right now, Rory McDonald is, and I tell you, is a far superior fighter than Paul Daly. Paul Daly, for me, is a fluke. He's a fake. Name the best win of his career. He has lost to, well, Nick Diaz. He has lost to Josh Cashin. He lost to Douglas Lima. Name the best win of his career. Brendan Ward. All this guy got is a puncher's chance. He got a left hook from hell. I give him that much of that respect. But let's not forget, man, Rory McDonald has wins over the number one contender, Demian Maia, and the UFC, and the current champion, Tyron Woodley. He lost to Robbie Lawler, obviously, and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, a former champion and a former number one contender. Rory only loses to the best, and I mean the best. His other losses to Carlos Condit, and I'm missing one loss that I, well, don't worry about it. It'll come back to me. I expect Rory McDonald to school Paul Daly. Paul Daly has been shoring up his wrestling defense, but it's not going to be enough. Rory's going to find a way to get him to the ground, grab and pound the hell out of him. If he doesn't TKO him outright, he's going to submit him probably on the second round. I don't have any fear on Paul Daly. Paul Daly is more hype than freaking truth. And he's going to get embarrassed up there in Manchester. So I pick Rory McDonald with a second round TKO.
TKO or sub? Because you did say submission. Which one are you going with? TKO or are you going with submission?
No, I'm going with the TKO. I want Paul Daly to get punished.
Okay. Second round TKO from the man, the myth, the legend, Marco from Waco. DJ Tony, do you have any thoughts about the what Marco had said? Because Paul Daly is an excellent striker. I mean, kickboxer, definitely. And, of course, his record is not really a joke. So what are you thinking?
I think one thing that we're missing, gentlemen, on this, and if you look, Marco's completely right about, you know, the Red King has been probably one of the best fighters that we've ever seen. In decisions, I mean, if you really start looking, guys, at his last 10 fights, forget about, of course, he took the loss via Stephen Thompson. His nose wasn't right. That was a decision. Before that, that brutal five-rounder, right, with Robbie Lawler. But let's be honest, that was 5 rounds, so that was a full fight. Of course, he beat Safadin via TKO, but everything else in between, guys, the Woodley, the Maia, the Lawler again, the Ellenberger, the BJ Penn, all those fights were decisions. So, and let's be honest, some of the UFC fighters that have gone into Bellator recently haven't really killed it. But I think Marco's right. I would never say that Paul Daly is a fraud, because if you look at his fights, he's been TKOing or KOing guys. So, but I do think this is going to go all 5 guys. I have the Red King struggling early, guys, but winning via decision, because I just can't see him. He's been off for a long time, guys. He hasn't fought, let's keep in mind, in almost a year. And before that, he was fighting basically once a year. 2014 was the last time that he fought on a repeated basis, guys. So I think the Red King will win via decision, but losing probably the first 2 rounds and winning the last 3.
It's a 3-rounder, well, man. This is Bellator.
So we're losing the first one and winning the last 2. Hang on, let's do the record scratch,
yeah,
on that one.
Get that in there. All right, guys. Yeah, since this is not a title fight, even though we probably all agree that, you know, the Red King, Rory McDonald, should have probably been injected into Bellator with a title fight in hand. And, of course, on Monday on the Ariel Helwani show, the MMA Fortnight, he did mention that, he was very surprised at the fact that he did not get the title fight and that the title fight was announced after he signed the fight with Paul Daly, but he was okay with it because it's his first fight in Bellator. And you know what, guys, it's probably a good thing to test the waters with Daly just to see, you know, where McDonald is at. So here's the question for you both, and I'll start with you, Marco. We heard on Ariel's show that, you know, it came up, the question about Rory's nose did come up, and Rory was saying that, you know what, he's not really worried about it right now. And of course, also we heard that he has not been training in Montreal at TriStar. He's been actually training at his old stomping grounds out there in BC, British Columbia, Canada. What do you think about both things? What do you think about his nose? Is it going to be an issue? And two, what do you think about his new sort of kind of training regiment out there in BC again?
I'm not too worried about his nose because he said it himself. When he came to the Stephen Thompson fight, he took it too soon and his nose kept re-breaking on training. So it was a handicap for him. This time he took the time to let that thing heal properly, and it hasn't given him any issues anymore. So from that perspective, I think the nose issue is a wash. Him going back to his old stomping grounds, a little concerned about that because, you know, TriStar is the one that made him the Canadian star that he is. He started in British Columbia, you know, maybe it's a comfort level thing because, you know, he's a married man now. And maybe he doesn't want to travel to Montreal and get separated from his family. The kid is talented enough. I mean, he's concentrating the camp all about himself, you know, because there is a trade-off. If you go to TriStar, you're one of the many. But if you go to British Columbia, all the training is concentrated upon you and you alone, you know, because he's the biggest fish on that little pond. So maybe it's not detrimental. It's actually a positive thing. I mean, you see what have done, what concentrating had done for Stipe Miocic, the guy's a champion of the world. And when it comes to the title belt in Bellator, I tell you, they sell those Bellator belts on Mickey D's on the freaking Happy Meals. They don't care about it. They don't care about their champions, man. Tell me, the only champion that they had that is of notoriety is Michael Chandler and Phil Davis. I didn't even promote them as champions. Like, you barely know the fact that they're fighting for a championship when it comes to a belt in Bellator. The fact that Phil Davis is fighting Ryan Bader on a preliminary freaking portion on a spike on the pay-per-view tells you how much they care about their championships. So when it comes to belts, I don't care about the belt. The belt doesn't mean anything in Bellator. What matters in Bellator is, you know, the highest profile fight he can get and the more money they're going to pay him on his contract. And, you know, if we're going to talk about money, he also needs to get big sponsors because he also disclosed on the Fortnite that even though he's making less money that with the Reebok deal, because unlike other people, he was actually one of those exclusive athletes signed by Reebok and Monster, so he was making good money with the UFC on that aspect. He doesn't have that privilege anymore because Reebok is exclusive of the UFC. And he wants to have those big sponsorships. He doesn't want to have a million freaking, you know, condom depots on his shorts. He wants Versace. He wants the freaking Under Armour, the Adidas. He wants those kind of sponsorships. Yeah. And, you know, he's trying to be smart about his career, so. We'll see what that takes him. But, you know, he's making good business moves. The guy is young. Let's not forget he's not even 30 yet. He's in his late 20s. So he might just go through this Bellator run and then, you know, leverage himself a new contract with the UFC, a better contract in the future. Because we have seen that done before. So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Tony, we just
check
look at
the
big brain
on Brad.
On
Brad.
same question.
Make no doubt about it, guys. When you look at the Bellator champions or the roster of champions, and Marco's semi-right in terms of I agree with him. Well, obviously he's right because that's his opinion. But I agree with him about the belts, but not – I think the belts in Bellator mean a little bit more, guys. Make no doubts about it, guys. Any way you want to look at it, Rory McDonald is a huge favorite on his card at a minus 350. Obviously, the comeback on Paul Daly, a plus 250. But if you look at the roster of fighters, right, Phil Davis is now the light heavyweight champ. Rafael Carvalho, obviously the middleweight champ. Douglas Lima hanging on by a thread because Rory McDonald will be their champion. Make no doubts about that. And Michael Chandler literally solidified and actually had one hell of a fight and a really damn close fight with Bendo. But I agree with Rory that he doesn't want to be labeled as, you know, having all these little sponsors, and that's why he's not going after the little sponsors. But he's going to be making a lot of money eventually. He's the kind of guy that Under Armour will certainly want, those silent but deadly types. And another thing, guys, to look at is, and this was written, by the way, by David Doyle at 5 p.m., basically an hour, couple hours before we went on air, guys. But Firas Zahavi will be in McDonald's corner. So the story is, of course, that if McDonald had indeed left, TriStar, it'll come as a shock to Firas Zahavi because he will be in his corner. So I don't think he's left the gym yet, guys. I still think he's very stable with TriStar.
Yes, a little bit
championship.
Of a caveat. A little bit of a caveat. I don't see Rory McDonald is going to fight Douglas Lima for the championship. I think he's going to fight Lawrence Larkin for the championship. But that is a story for another day.
Yeah. Indeed. I mean, that's a very good possibility. And, of course, as I had alluded to earlier on at the top, that fight is going to happen. And we will probably see if we have a new champion in Bellator or whether or not the champion is able to retain. But we digress, guys, because we are here to do Smack My Picks Up. Tony, just before we move on to the next fight, can I ask you where you're getting your odds from so that the audience knows where you're getting the odds from, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm getting my odds, and, of course, I'm totally ripping off our guy Showtime and, of course, our guy Clearwater Beach Bad Boy. But I'm at Odds Shark because finding the Bellator odds aren't that easy to find, guys, but it's oddshark.com.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony. I appreciate that.
So
Tony will be yeah, exactly. Good one. Tony will be providing any kind of odds for this show. And, of course, like I said, the worlds are colliding here. This again, just for to peel back the curtain for all the listeners, this show was planned very quickly last night. Marco wanted to do a show, and he felt like we needed to get this Bellator card spoken about. So that's why we're doing a show. So just bear with us. We're gonna try and combine all the worlds here for you right now on the Amp Radio Network because we've got all the big bosses in town. So let's move on to the next fight. Of course, we're gonna move on to the light heavyweight co-main event, Linton Vassell versus upon a time, the champion, Liam McGeary. Tony, let's start with you. We've got Linton Vassell at 17-5-0, and of course, Liam McGeary coming back at us at 12-1. What you got?
Here's a funny thing. As Marco was saying about Paul Daly basically being a facade or a fake, I'm not sure. That may not be the story of Liam McGeary, guys. Of course, at 12-1, you know, a tall fighter. He's actually a heavy favorite, too, at a minus 210. Linton Vassell coming back at a plus 160. And of course, they're alleged buddies, et cetera. But if you look at this tale, I don't think I've ever seen the Swarm actually fight a good fight, guys. So I don't see there's a way that Linton Vassell wins. I mean, he's kind of a boring fighter as well early in his career. A lot of subs, but last three fights against King Mo. And mind you, he did beat King Mo, but King Mo, Emmanuel Newton, Francis Carmat, all been decisions. But this is a much taller fighter. You know, Linton Vassell is at 6'4". Liam McGarry is 6'6", tall, lanky fighter. But the problem with McGarry, guys, is that he's had knee issues. So he hasn't been the same since he fought Tito Ortiz. But I still somehow think that Liam Geary, I don't think this is going to be a good fight, guys. I think this is going to go all three rounds, and I think it's going to be a kind of boring fight where one kind of like sits on top of the other. But I see Liam McGarry winning this, guys, in a very boring decision.
Yeah, and you're right, Tony. I mean, if you look at Vassell's record, I mean, like you just said, he's got a win over Frankie Carrs. And of course, Emmanuel Newton lost to King Mo. But both of those wins were, of course, by decision, which you are now going for. But of course, you're going the opposite direction and you're going with Liam McGarry here. Now, of course, Liam McGarry, I think this is a battle. If I'm not mistaken, Marco, I believe this is a battle of UK fighters here. So it's going to be very interesting for the home crowd because it's, you know, England on England crime, right? I mean, this is what's happening in this fight. So let's go ahead and get, after you've heard DJ Tony break down the fight, Marco, what do you think about this light heavyweight co-main event on Bellator 179?
Well, actually, it's a co-main event that it belongs there. Oh, by the way, yeah, I'm radio, you know, listeners. I have set it my authority powers to make this show happen today. So thank me. So in Bellator, Liam McGarry, whether we like it or not, is the fourth best light heavyweight on the roster, behind Phil Davis, yeah. Ryan Bader, and King Mo. Yeah, even though he holds a victory over King Mo, I still believe King Mo is a better fighter. Yes, King Mo gets in his own way sometimes, to put it that way. But yeah, McGarry is talented. He got superior ground skills on this other dude. And it is a little bit tailor-made for him. I mean, obviously, these guys know each other, so it's not like he's going to be surprised about what the other guy's going to bring to the table. And I call him the other guy because I cannot even, I cannot even bring myself to remember his name. That is how unimpressed with him I am. So, yeah,
ouch!
McGarry, by all intents and purposes, he's the fourth best light heavyweight on the Bellator roster. And because of that, he should hold court. I also agree with Tony. It's going to be a boring fight. It's going to be a lot of groundwork, a lot of control and position. And even if McGarry finds himself on his back, he got a very well-developed boxing game that can actually surprise you if you can get caught on a triangle. You know, go ask Tito Ortiz for that workout for him, you know. So, yeah, I'm picking Liam McGarry. I'm not picking him in a unanimous 30-27 decision.
And just to clarify quickly, the last loss on McGarry's record is actually to Phil Davis and not King Mo. That was the last loss on Linton Vassell's record, just to clarify.
Yeah, they're my
father.
You're absolutely
that's okay.
Right.
I
digress.
Yeah, I digress as well. So we're both going with the decision, and we're both going with Liam McGarry at the end here, right, guys? Correct?
Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm also going to take Liam McGarry here. I did not give a pick for the last fight, but I'll give that real quick. I'm going to take the Red King probably by third round TKO. I'm going to take Liam McGarry here. I'm going to take him, and I'm going to disagree with you both. I think Liam McGarry has lost or learned a lot from his time in Bellator, and I do believe that he's improved since his loss to Phil Davis after experiencing that high level. I do believe he's going to be able to use his range against Vassell. I do believe that he is going to be able to get to a second round, probably TKO, KO. Yeah, that's my pick. So I'm going against you both with your safe square decision choices, and I'm going to go with TKO in the second by Liam McGarry. And where's that?
Here's the one thing, though.
Here we go. Well, here.
Sorry about this. Yeah,
thank you, Brian Collins.
Sorry about this, pro. There you go. But the one thing I will say this, though, guys, and Proteus, you're right about Liam McGarry, but the thing is, if you look at his last, probably his last body of work, pun intended, he hasn't been in the same kind of shape, and I think the knees are going to bother him, guys. Even though he is a Renzo Gracie, I think he's a black belt, guys. He doesn't look the same, Proteus.
Oh, hello. I know, right? Whose balls did I have to fondle?
Oh, excuse me. All right, guys. So let's move on. I don't know anything about Liam McGarry looking good getting off the bus. And Tony, if that's a concern for you, I appreciate that concern. Marco, if I'm not mistaken, didn't McGarry have an injury coming into the last couple of fights, or some kind of nagging injury that we are concerned about? Does that sound familiar to you, Marco?
They said like a lingering injury with his knees, like Tony was speculating earlier. But I don't know if
that's right.
Something that has been resolved, or is something that is still lingering or not. I mean, the guy hasn't fought since the Phil Davis fight, and that was a minute and a half ago. So probably.
No. He had a fight against Brett McDermott February 24th, 2017, which was a win.
Man,
so he has had another fight, and Tony, you're right. I remember you saying, actually, Tony, it's all coming back to me now. That's right. It's all coming back to me now. What's that song, Tony? You got it in your head?
No.
Okay. Anyways, so it's all coming back to me now, and I do believe that was the reason, Tony. As Marco has stated, I think that he had a knee injury, and that's why we haven't seen him since February. And yes, you're right, Tony. He did look very his body did look very different in that fight. Okay, listen. I digress. Let's move on to the next fight. We go to the heavyweight division. This is the feature fight, apparently, as Bellator is calling it. Augusto Sakai. Am I saying that right, Marco? Is my pronunciation correct? No, Sakai, yeah?
Your guess is as good as mine. Your guess is as good as mine, brother.
Tony, you always correct me on pronunciation.
Sakai. Sakai.
Sakai?
Sakai.
Sakai.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Augusto Sakai versus Czech Congo, and of course, Augusto coming at us at a 9-0-1 record, and of course, Czech Congo with a little bit more experience, USC veteran coming over to Bellator. We all know his story. If we don't, check it out. 26-10-2 decisions. I think, Marco, we're going to start with you because you're up. So what you got here? Smack My Picks Up Edition, Bellator 179.
I hate to admit it, but it's going to be Congo in a very boring wrestle-fuck decision, because that is what Congo been doing lately, and it's been effective.
Yeah.
I mean, never mind Kim Mo, you know, did the same to him back in the day. But, Congo lately, man, he's very risk-averse. He will not get into a firefight. He will push you against the cage, try to get the double leg or the single leg, put you down, and lay and pray and grind the fuck out of you until the end of the fight. And I think that the formula is not going to change today. Congo is an experienced fighter. I think he's a smart dude. He knows how to win fights. And I don't know too much about this guy, Sakai, to tell you the truth. So I cannot assess if he is the real deal or he's just a sacrificial lamb to make Congo look good. Because, like, you know, let's not ignore the fact that Congo and Bellator is on a little run again. You know, it's on a little undefeated streak. Like I said, 3 or 4 fights, if I'm correct. Maybe more than that. But Congo's been looking quote-unquote good. And when I say quote-unquote good, it's like he does his Russell Fox thing, grind you to the ground, and grind you until the fight is over. So, yeah, the formula is not changing. It's a 30-27 win for Congo, unless this kid comes out of nowhere and knock him out. You know, that Congo didn't know to be able to be knocked out before. But I'm going to go with the non-commodity. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No. You're going to go with the non-commodity, yeah?
The non-commodity, check Congo, and it's going to be a 30-27 decision.
And Marco, you were correct that since his loss in February on the same card as we mentioned on the last fight, Congo has put together, is strung together four decisions in a row, as opposed to Sakai's four wins, both by three of which were came by TKO, and the last one against Alex Huddleston, anyways, by decision. So, Tony, what do you got on this one? Because we all seem to be very confused about who Chuck Congo is fighting. We all seem to know who Chuck Congo is, but what do you got going forward in this fight? Do you have a decision like Marco has?
Yeah, I do, but I'm going to go with the split decision. So here's the thing. I actually, as you guys know, I actually watch Bellator quite a bit. So Augusto Sakai, guys, looks like me with his shirt off. So that's not a good thing.
Oh,
but
boy.
If you look at his body of work in terms of, yeah, that's like me standing next to Misha Tate. Exactly. You don't want to see that. But the one thing about Augusto Sakai, though, guys, if you, yeah, come on now. That's mellow, by the way. The one thing about Augusto Sakai, guys, if you see him, he's actually what you would typically see with a Brazilian heavyweight guys. He's actually pretty mobile, and he's more of a kickboxer than anything, guys. But as Marco was talking about being a fraud, I think if you look at his record, guys, the 9-0-1, I think that's a bit of a fraud. Now, the one thing obviously everyone knows about Chuck Congo, right? It might have been, Marco, correct me on this. I think it was Big Brown that was talking about this, about Francis Ngannou basically being a Chuck Congo version 2. Right, 2.0. I mean, yeah. He's kind of similar in terms of that. I mean, we've already seen. The problem with Chuck Congo, guys, is he's 42 years old, and he looks 42 years old. And Marco's right. He's not the same Chuck Congo. He's actually fighting pretty safe, kind of boring. And I, believe it or not, I think this is going to be a split decision. I do see it going with Chuck Congo because I think that's what everybody wants. But I think Augusto Sakai is going to give him a little bit of a fight. So maybe on paper, Congo gets the win. In reality, maybe Augusto Sakai basically sneaks out one, but yeah, I see it going to Chuck Congo, guys, in a boring fight.
It's cool, I say.
All right, well, again, I'm going to disagree with both of you guys. I think that Chuck Congo can get this fight finished. One thing that we've seen out of Chuck Congo is that he has very ferocious punching power. And I do believe that Augusto may put himself in a position where Chuck can take advantage. I see it finishing on the feet, but I'm kind of getting a sense that it might finish on the ground. So let's go with that. I'm going to go with a TKO probably again in the second. For some reason, I'm feeling that maybe it's Pam sending me out some vibes here in her witchy ways. Second round TKO, I think it's going to finish on the ground. I just think Chuck Congo, even though Tony, as you mentioned, he's the older fighter, I just think that he can, with all that he's learned in his time, not only in the UFC, but also in Bellator, and I think he might be able to finish this fight, and I think that's probably why they've served him up to him, why they've served Augusto up to Chuck Congo. But you never know. Anything can happen in this game. But I'm going to go with I'm going to write it down right now. TKO second Congo. Right. And just to recap for Josh from Tilsonburg, Marco has in the main event has Rory McDonald decision. Tony also has Rory McDonald decision. I have Rory McDonald second round TKO. In the co-main event, Tony has a majority decision, I think you said, Tony. I apologize. I'm just trying to put shorthand here. So let me go back. You have Liam McGeary by decision. Marco also has Liam McGeary by decision. And I have Liam finishing that again in the second round. I'm seeing a trend happening here, guys. I don't know about you. Feature fight of the night, which is Czech Congo. Marco has a decision that would be unanimous for Czech Congo. Tony, you have the split decision for Congo, and I have a second round TKO. Tony, did you give us the odds for the Czech Congo fight? I don't believe you did.
No, I didn't. Sorry. So forgive me for not giving you a proper respect for Hori and everyone else. But Czech Congo, actually a huge favorite, guys, at a -275, and Augusto Sakai coming back at a +195.
Well, I mean, the smart money has got to be on Augusto, right?
Not really. That's about right.
Not really.
No. No. Okay. Well, hey. If you wanted to make some money, though, that's the way to do it, right? Well, I wish we had Showtime on the line so he could give us the lowdown.
Yeah, Showtime knows what he's talking about.
He's a gambler, guys. He should tell us better.
He is the gambler. Okay, guys, let's move on to this last fight on the Bellator 179 card because we are swiftly running out of time, and I know that you guys want to get to some MMA news. We have DJ Griffin. This is a catchweight feature fight. We are taking DJ Griffin versus your boy, Baby Slice. And of course, guys, this is the DJ Griffin coming at us at a 0-0-0 record, and Baby Slice coming at us at a 0-1-0. And the only reason we are talking about this fight is because Marco wanted to speak about it. So Marco, why don't you go ahead and take the reins here? Tell us about this fight.
Okay, so nothing we can tell about who Baby Slice is fighting, but I think that Bellator, because they are really into the Kimbo Slice business, rest in peace, Kimbo, so they want to give Baby Slice a gimme. And that is just my feeling. I mean, for all the wrongs that Kimbo Slice got us, not preparing himself as a good fighter, you know, that he was a very one-dimensional guy. On the other hand, his son has been doing it the right way, you know, with the right gym, you know, preparing himself on jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing, kickboxing. And, he got a rough start. You know, his first fight, he lost. It happens. You know, nobody's going to be perfect in MMA ever. You know, not even Joanna Jędrzejczyk, even though I would love for her to be undefeated forever and ever, ever and ever and ever and ever. But I think Baby Slice is going to win this one. I do not believe that Bellator is dumb enough to bring a super ultra talented prospect to wipe the floor with Baby Slice, and that's why I think Baby Slice is going to win this. Now, the method, just for kicks and giggles, I think he's going to honor his father, and he's going to knock this guy out of the park with a big freaking right hook, just because, you know, he's going to honor his dad. I got no basis for this prediction. I just, my gut feeling is that Baby Slice is going to come through, he's going to knock this guy out, and they're going to start, you know, feeding Baby Slice the level of talent that he needs to develop properly so they can do something with him in the future.
DJ Tony, what do you think about Kevin Ferguson Jr.'s chances in winning this fight, as Marco says that he's going to honor his father? What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I actually had a Google Daryl Griffin guy. He's the DJ. And when I Googled him, they said, try again another year. All right, that bombed. All right, guys. But just honestly, trying to find any information on Daryl Griffin actually wasn't very easy, guys. I mean, literally, he is a fighter that doesn't have a lot of history on him. So that's probably all you need to know. There's no doubt about it that Bellator is in the big star in the Kimbo Slice business, like Marco said. I think it's a given that this fight is basically, you know, there for Kimbo, Baby Kimbo or Baby Slice actually to win that fight. The problem with Baby Slice is he hasn't really looked that good, right? I mean, in his first fight, you know, he basically has two fights under his belt. One was, of course, you know, an amateur fight. The other one was against Aaron Hamilton, and he was submitted. So they're literally giving him someone that he should be able to fight. So I think Kimbo Slice Jr. or Baby Slice is going to take it. The problem with Kevin Ferguson Jr. is I don't really know what kind of fighter he is, because he's not as big as his dad, and we think he has the power of his dad, but we don't really know. So I'm going to give it to Baby Slice, but just like on Marco said, on faith alone, guys, because I don't have anything else to go by.
Yeah, just real quick, man. I think they did Baby Slice a disservice by not letting him have more amateur fights, man. That is what you do amateur fights, to develop your skills so you don't jump into the pros right away and get exposed. So, you know, that is their management, and that is probably Bellator's fault too, because they wanted to bank into the Kimbo Slice business and Baby Slice. But we'll say that, like, Coker is not a stupid man. Coker is going to feed this kid the adequate level of talent for him to develop.
No, I agree with you, Marco. I do not believe that Baby Slice, as we're calling him, has had enough time to maturate or develop. I'm going to take DJ Griffin. I really am, guys. I think that the pressure that is being applied onto Baby Slice is just way too much. I think that it's too much too soon. Even though this guy, DJ Griffin, like you said, Tony, doesn't have much information coming back at us, he's got a puncher's chance. I'm going to take him in this fight. I'm going to take him by KO, probably in the first. I just don't think that Baby Slice is there. I don't think he's ready for the big stage. He could prove me wrong, guys. He could prove me wrong, and we could pick up with this whole Kimbo Slice media tour for Baby Slice. You know, he could pick up on, he absolutely could, you know, ride on the coattails of his father. But again, like Marco said, I think it's a little too soon for Baby Slice. And of course, these records here, guys, show how far Bellator is willing to go. 0-0-0 and 0-1-0 is just not something that we should be seeing on a fight card that is of this caliber at all. Okay, guys, so I'm gonna put a big bow on Bellator 179, unless anybody has anything else to say, any other comments on 179. Going once, going twice, sold. Okay, so we have about 20 minutes left in the show, so let's try and wrap this up. Marco seemed very adamant about starting with the Conor versus Mayweather news. So let's just shift gears into Proteus's primetime show out of Smack My Picks Up. Again, I have stated plenty of times on this show and, of course, on MMA Junkie Radio that I am not interested in this fight in any manner at all. But, of course, with the news has come out that we are very, very close to getting this decision. Of course, we are hearing, Marco, that Conor McGregor has agreed to terms and that we are now led to believe by Lord Dana. I don't know, Tony, if you've got this queued up, but the Empire music would be good right about now. We've heard from Lord Dana that, you know, it's about 50% done, and I don't know if I can believe that, which also brings me to another topic that Tony brought up. Can we believe anything that Dana White says? And of course, we've covered that on this show. But Marco, I digress. Let's start with Conor versus Mayweather. Has the Empire gotten this halfway done? What do you think?
Feel the power. Join the dark side.
Yes.
Look, when it comes to the Dana side, even Conor McGregor confirmed on the Mag Live, you know, his own website, that the deal on his side is done. He already signed the papers. Now, the caveat here is the Mayweather side. And we know he famously dragged his feet for five fucking years to make the Pacquiao fight. Mayweather is going to drag his feet forever on this one. And that is why I think this fight might not even happen. But this is my conspiracy theory. I'm going to put my tinfoil hat, and I'll tell you what I think is happening right now. They signed the contract with Conor, but you know the UFC is good at covering themselves up, and Conor is also very good at covering his bases. they told him, okay, we're going to do this fight, but it's going to be a timeline for us to get this fight done. If we're going to get this fight done before November, we want you to fight in November in Madison Square Garden, and we want you to fight George St. Pierre. Because, yeah, St. Pierre Bisping is a good fight. He'll make money. St. Pierre McGregor is a mega fight. He'll make mega money. And it was a good consolation prize for Conor if all this freaking talk of Mayweather falls apart. And I truly believe it's going to fall apart because Mayweather doesn't give an inch. And he thinks he's the A side. He thinks he deserves all the money and nobody else can have any money. And the UFC, for whether you like it or not, they don't bend down and bend over for anybody. You know, yeah, Mayweather might be a billionaire, but, you know, Eddie Emanuel is a multi-billionaire. The UFC is a multi-billion dollar company. And Dana White is on par with the money that Mayweather has. So a lot of egos are going to start, like, pumping in. McGregor is going to be taken care of regardless. McGregor, if he fights Mayweather, is going to make hundreds of millions. And if he fights George St. Pierre, he's probably going to make a cool $50 million. That is my projection on that. So, yeah, this whole fight with Mayweather, right now, I think it's going to be more difficult than ever. Not because of Conor, because Conor is already on board. Conor has already got his assurances. You know, he already signed the papers, and he signed the papers because he knows at the end of the day, no matter what happens, he's going to get paid. It's Mayweather the one that's going to be the problem. And that's what I say in this fight. If it happens, it's because Mayweather decided to bend over and take it at the butt, and I don't think he will. And that is why this fight might never happen, dude.
Here's the thing,
yeah,
though,
so
guys.
DJ
Here's the thing, guys. When we hear that half of the deal has been done from Dana, what does that mean, right? It means nothing. Because on the other side, the most important part of this is the fact that, and I'm stealing a little bit from the MMA beat here, guys, because I was listening to this earlier, but think about it this way. Conor actually works for the UFC, right? Independent contractor, so he needs to go through Dana. But unless it goes through the Mayweather side, it doesn't mean anything, guys. So by Dana saying, hey, at least this side's done on the Conor side, all that means is nothing. It means it's putting more pressure on Mayweather, but it doesn't mean the fight's going to happen. And honestly, I don't care if this fight happens, but it really doesn't mean anything. But I do think it's still very dangerous for the UFC to go this route because, again, stealing a little bit from the MMA beat, guys, it's either going to go really well or it's going to go really, really bad.
I don't disagree with you on that. Go ahead, Progress.
Go ahead, Marco. No, go ahead.
Like
I'll wrap it up.
I don't disagree with you on that, you know, it doesn't mean anything. But my point on the Conor side being done is not the fact that it is done for the fight to happen. I think it is done on the fact that it's a contingency plan in case the fight doesn't happen. And because my belief is that Mayweather is going to make it so difficult that the whole freaking deals about the boxing match are going to fall apart, the UFC and Conor put it on the contract, what will be the contingency plan in case these fights fall apart? And my belief is that it's a GSP fight, because GSP has been adamant about fighting in October, November. You know, that is why Dana went into Fox Sports Australia and then into the freaking NBA on TNT freaking broadcast yesterday. And, you know, the Michael Bisping GSP fight is off. And, you know, Romero is should be getting ready, if not in July, maybe in September, you know. So Bisping can kiss that fight goodbye. It's not going to happen. That is what I believe, that they're projecting and they're preparing Conor for a big freaking fight in Madison Square Garden in November to freaking either fight George St. Pierre at 170 or may George St. Pierre go all the way down to 155 and fight for the title. Either way, it's a mega fight. I mean, I tell you right now, McGregor St. Pierre is signed and they're fighting in November. Are you looking forward to the fight? Me? Yes, I do. If they say St. Pierre McGregor are going to fight for the title, even better.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Listen, guys, I'm gonna try and put a little bow on this because, again, I don't care about the Conor McGregor Mayweather conversation. I find it intriguing how it's playing out in the media. You know, how Lord Dana is coming out with lies as he does. I mean, he just spews lies. And let me just touch on the GSP. Exactly. Let me just touch on the GSP versus Bisping. We heard Ariel Helwani on his show on the Fortnite on Monday say that don't be surprised if this fight still is on, because Michael Bisping is claiming that he is lame and that he's, you know, that knee injury is still affecting him. Of course, we know that he does not actually want to fight Yoel Romero. And of course, we saw that video come out, I think it was today, on my Twitter today, of Yoel Romero being very, very jacked up.
No, for gay Jesus.
And don't forget gay Jesus, you're correct. But let me just go here, guys. I think that that GSP Bisping fight is going to be on still. I don't believe that anything, as I've said to you guys for many, many months, and Tony, if I may, happy almost 1 year of doing the show. So I've been telling you guys for a full year, you know, don't believe anything that Dana White says, because he is a promoter, and that is his job, to promote his wares, you know, what he needs to promote. So starting from the beginning, GSP, I believe the GSP is not going to fight in the Octagon until October, and I believe that that is a direct result of his contract with Under Armour. I believe that Under Armour has come to an agreement and said, okay, GSP, we will renegotiate your agreement, your contract, so you can wear Reebok in the Octagon, but we're not going to do that until your existing contract expires, which I believe probably expires around, you know, October, November. Which would allow GSP to wear Reebok in the Octagon, but have his Under Armour contract stay intact whilst he is not fighting. And you know, Ariel Helwani reporting that, or saying on his show that he believes that this is not going to happen, that the Romero Bisping fight is not going to happen, makes me believe that this is still true. I believe that they're trying to, that the UFC is trying to keep this narrative in the news, in our ears, trying to create drama that may not be there. And this Conor McGregor Mayweather thing is also adding to it. If you think, as Marco has said, you know, the GSP Conor McGregor fight in the UFC probably will break everything. You know, it will break the internet. It will break pay-per-view. People will be tuning in because I saw a stat put out on Twitter. I don't know. I can't claim that I know that these facts are true, but GSP is one of the largest pay-per-view draws that the UFC has ever seen, including Brock Lesnar, Conor McGregor, and Ronda Rousey. So who knows what the UFC is planning? I still believe that the GSP Bisping fight will happen. I don't know, guys. I don't know. Even though we are hearing that we're 50% done, or that we are in the red zone on this Conor McGregor Mayweather fight happening, it seems like Mayweather, Marco, it seems like Mayweather actually wants this fight with everything that he has been saying lately. You know, it seems like he actually wants to do this fight because maybe he thinks it's an easy fight, but we'll see. And as MMA Junkie, they took a poll, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. They were asking a question, you know, if this fight falls apart, who do you think is going to be responsible? And I thought it was going to be Mayweather or the UFC, just because it's just too many egos in involved, Marco. And what do you think? Am I making any sense to you at all here?
You're making sense, but you know what? A quarter on the Luke Thomas show today made a really good point. The way the UFC is setting the table up with these negotiations with the Mayweather-McGregor fight, they're saying, you know, we got our side of the table done. You know, McGregor is on board. We got everything signed. Now, Mayweather, the ball is in your court. And because they got ahead on the storyline, saying, okay, Heyman, you know, even Conor McGregor say, "Hey man, get your boxer online now." Now even though Paul Heyman is not the boss of freaking Mayweather, he's just his negotiator, but whatever. They are sitting at the table, so if everything falls apart, it wasn't the UFC or Conor McGregor's fault, because we were ready. We're ready with our deal. You know, you guys put all these obstructions, all these demands, all these outrageous money claims or whatever. Whatever it is that putting everything on Mayweather's court to blame him. Remember, for years, the Pacquiao freaking negotiations.
Yeah, 5 years.
It was Mayweather the one putting all the obstructions, you know. He was the one with all the demands. And they're going to play the same game. And if the fight falls apart, they're going to lay all the blame on Mayweather, all of it. And, you know,
yep.
Wash your hands of it. So it is machiavellically extremely good move for the UFC to get ahead on this story, you know, because going on national television and telling everybody our side is done, we're waiting on Mayweather. If it falls apart, it is Mayweather's foul, no harm, no foul, and we continue doing MMA with Conor McGregor. You know what I'm saying? So you protect yourself.
Okay, Tony.
Here's the thing, though, guys.
Real quickly.
Yeah, but again, though, let's. I think, you know, like Marco was talking about the Luke Thomas show. I mean, let's be honest, guys. We still don't know anything, right? All we know is that we do know that basically Dana's saving face, right, by saying, hey, listen, we're done on our side, right? But are they really done? We don't really know. Have we seen any paperwork? Is anything really signed? No, because the fight isn't even put together, right? So, yeah. I mean, you know, let's take it for what it's worth, right? Which is right now, not much of anything.
Yeah, like I said before, they come to terms with Conor. Conor already agreed what is going to be his portion, you know? And when it comes to boxing, the negotiations for a fight are super slow, and you should know better than that, Tony, because we've seen it all the time. It takes forever to put a fight together in boxing. So, as of right now, there is no fight. There is nothing signed. But on Conor's and the UFC side, they're already on the same page. Even Conor, on his own website, you know, celebrated the signing of his side of the contract. He announced it to the whole world. You know, so we know, as of right now, that at least the UFC, Dana White, and Conor McGregor are on the same page. That is what we know. That's the facts as they stand right now. Now, we don't know the Mayweather side. And if, to tell you the truth, if he falls apart, who cares? But as of right now, that's what we stand.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Yeah, okay, guys. So we are up on it. We are at the hour mark right now. So let's start to close the show up. One last thing that is of pertinent news. Poirier is filing an appeal to the Texas Commission to overturn the no contest against Eddie Alvarez. And of course, DJ Tony, I'm going to go throw to you because we did talk about this on Sunday, and then we'll go to Marco. And we did expect this. I did say this on the show. I did expect him to go appeal this decision, but let's go ahead and get you to talk, and then I'll talk at the end. Tony.
Yeah, again, I think it comes down to what we believe and what reality is, because we keep saying how how Herb Dean is basically the, you know, the a great referee, but we continue to see this happen over and over and over again, and he clearly knows the rules more than we do. But when he's going over to Mark Ratner, right, instead of the commission, and I don't know really right. who was involved, but that whole thing seemed a little odd to me. Damn right. I mean, Poirier should fight for his win at least. The funny thing is, if you see about Dustin Poirier, he doesn't even care about the victory, right? He wants the win money. So clearly he's more into the money than anything else. But I agree with him. I think that's shoddy work, especially from someone who I think we all agree is allegedly the second best referee in all of MMA.
Right.
Yeah, he's fumbling the ball a little bit lately. But this appeal is going to go nowhere because 99% of the time the commission will side with the decision of the referee. And they agree with him. I mean, let's not blame it on that, Mark Ragnar, because Mark Ragnar was just there. But when you get a full shot of the whole, Herb Dean was talking to, he was talking to the commissioners and Mark Ragnar. Mark Ragnar was just positioned on the screenshot that it seemed that he was just talking to him. Now, this is a little bit deeper than just the win bonus and stuff. This is up to the fighters and the fighters' managers to stop freaking signing contracts with show money and win bonus money. They get a flat fee, you know, for just getting into the fight. Because when it comes to, like, the high-level guys, you know, the Alistair Overeems, the Daniel Cormiers, the freaking John Jones, the Stipe Miocics, they don't get win bonuses. They just get a flat fee. They get, like, Nate Diaz on his last fight with Conor McGregor, he got a cool million on top of the paper on top of the pay-per-view points. That was his flat fee for the first fight. And the second fight, he got $2 million, and then he got pay-per-view points. That's why he ain't fighting no more. It is time for the freaking manager to stop signing the stupid contracts with show money and win bonus money and start signing, like, flat fee money like the guys in Bellator do. For whatever grievances I got with Bellator, that is one thing they do right. They pay their freaking fighters upfront money. Whether you win, lose, or show and the other guy no shows, you get your money upfront. And that's a better freaking way to fight, not worrying about that. If I lose, I'm going to lose half my freaking paycheck. So good luck to Dustin Poirier with that appeal. I see he's not going to go anywhere. But I am 100% on board on the fact that they need to run that fight back, because Poirier was on his way to winning the fight, you know, and maybe right the wrong of what Herb Dean did that night.
No, Marco, that sound is not to disagree with you 100%. I hope 100% that not only does Dustin Poirier succeed in his appeal, because that would get me an extra point in my pool. That's why I gave you the Price is Right sound there. It's mainly selfish reason. I do agree, guys. I think that Tony, did you comment on this, or am I talking over you right now? Where you should be.
No. I went. Go ahead. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah. Okay. No, I agree, and I think we kind of like I said at the top, we talked about this on Sunday, and I do believe after hearing Herb Dean on Ariel's show and explaining, and I do appreciate him being forthright and giving us that exposure to how he was thinking and how his decisions were being made. I think more refs, more judges, more commissions need to embrace the Herb Dean and John McCarthy way of doing things, where they explain why they decided to do things. I'm still going to go with Herb was, you know, looking for a way to not be a decision maker in the fight. I do believe he gave it a no contest because he didn't want to, you know, be the guy to decide the fate of anybody. I do believe that Dustin Poirier deserves to have his win bonus. I do believe that Eddie Alvarez should have been disqualified in that fight. And I hear Marco coming in. So did you want to say something?
I sort of for breathing on the microphone. I didn't mention that.
Okay. Darth is back.
I agree 100% of what you're saying. I was going to use you brought it because, yeah, I truly believe that Herdin was afraid of interjecting himself as the decision maker of the fight. He did not want to receive the backlash of, you know, interjecting himself on the final sort of a decision, because a lot of people wouldn't make the argument, oh, but Eddie Alvarez was making a comeback and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, then Dusty Poirier guys, but Dusty was winning the fight. So he chose to take the politically correct avenue and call it a no contest. But if you go by the letter of the rule, there was a disqualification.
Marco, give us one second. Tony, DJ Tony has to leave, so let's just send him out in the right possible way. Let's play his music. Thank you, DJ Tony, for being a guest on Proteus' Primetime Show. Have a good night.
Hey, Pro, before I leave, can I say one thing, of course?
Absolutely.
Hello?
Yeah, sorry. Just give me, first off, hey, I just want to say, hey, listen, thank you guys for everything that you've done. We're like Proteus said, we're coming up on a year, so we're going to have a celebration for that. Happy birthday to Proteus next week, though. So I'm running the gun a little, actually, maybe the week after. Happy birthday is also coming to Marco's son, Pam, and of course her daughter, Veronica. So I just want to say a lot of great things happen in May. So happy birthday to everyone. And this is the reason why, because we're a family. So I just want to say thank you, guys. So I'll see you. I'll leave you and Marco to it. Have at it, guys. Take care. Happy birthday.
Peace out. All right. Marco. Let's pick up where we left off. I know we had to get rid of Tony there, so... let's pick up where we left off. Go ahead.
No, I agree with you that, you know, that tricking a knee on Eddie Alvarez by the letter of the law were a disqualification. You know what? All these freaking commissioners have to get their act together and freaking live by one set of rules, because it's stupid and ridiculous that we go to from one state to another and the freaking rules change for you know, from Nevada to New Jersey to Texas to Alabama to California. God, it's like it's getting to be difficult to keep up with the unified rules of MMA. But
yeah,
disregarding all that, good luck to Dustin Poirier. I don't think it's gonna go his way, because historically speaking, you know, commissions never go the way of the fighters.
Yeah.
I mean, I was surprised when Triple Threat, Invicta, got her decision overturned. So who knows? But that was freaking Kansas City. That was Kentucky or whatever. It wasn't Texas. Here in Texas, I have to say, our commissions suck in here. The guys got their head up in their asses. So good luck, freaking Dustin. But it is what it is, man. Any other topics that we need to talk about, or we're ready to wrap this thing up?
I believe, Marco, we are ready to wrap this thing up. I was going to give you, I was going to play you out. So why don't you go ahead and wrap this thing up? Wrap it up.
Oh, I'm going to wrap it up like a condom, brother. Okay. So follow Proteus at Proteus, you know. Follow Tony at DJ Tony. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the podcast at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review us on iTunes. Guys, you the listeners, I got to make this possible. I don't know how many of you are listening, but I'm glad that you guys listen. And, you know, we're going to try to keep doing this stuff for as long as the wheels stay on. And I you know, I know a little bit of mechanics, so I'm going to make sure the wheels stay on for a long time. We'll release you guys. Catch you guys next week.
Thank you, Marco. All right. That was Marco from Waco, Texas. Guys, thank you very much for tuning in. I have one more topic to address, and I saved this to the end until Marco was off the line because I know Marco has experienced the hell that Nick Catone is and his family are going through. I just wanted to send our thoughts and prayers out to Nick Catone's family. You know, as I just said, the losing a child is an unspeakable hell that I don't think any parent ever wants to experience. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Send our thoughts and prayers out to them, and that's it. I'm not going to cover it anymore because they'll probably break down into tears. So thank you all very much. I just got to recover from the thought of that. And I know Marco has gone through it, so that's why I did not want to bring it up while Marco was on the line. So let's move on to some of the bigger and better things, guys. Thank you very much for listening. As Marco said, we're going to continue to do this. You all are still listening. And you all are very, very, we're not broadcasting to three people. The numbers are very good, as Tony has said. So I appreciate you all for listening. Share, subscribe, rate if you can, because we appreciate every single one of our listeners. And of course, as Tony said, we're coming up on a year of doing this show, and we've all learned. We've all grown, and I think we're getting better at it, guys. I do. Listen, I have a Twitter follow of the week, and I've mentioned them before on this show, and I just want to give them a proper shout-out. Hardcore Listing. They're a show that I've a podcast that I've been listening to. They're on regular rotation in my podcast list. Hang on one second, and I hope you all did your duty and filled in the the missing pieces there. Listen, I was getting to Hardcore Listing. I enjoy them. They're not probably for everybody, but you can follow them at HCL Podcast, Hardcore Listing. They're out of the UK. They speak with a crazy accent. They say mate, and they say oi. No, they don't say oi. I'm just joking. You follow them if you want. If you don't want, that's fine. Don't worry. We may not. Everything that we suggest may not be for you, and that's okay. I think that's a Scribius Pip line. I apologize. That's probably not my own line. Follow Scribius Pip too. At Scribius Pip, yo. He's one of my favorite UK rappers. One of my favorite rappers in general. And of course, he has his own podcast, Distraction Podcast. And of course, Mighty Car Mods. Thank you, Tony. You know I love those guys. I called them out on Sunday. Gave them a little shout out. Not only do they do Mighty Car Mods, but they have a second show called The Unicorn Circuit. If you're into cars, it might be up your alley. Then again, it may not be. So I'm going to wrap this show up, guys. I thank you all again very much for listening. We are MMA fans. We are MMA junkies. And I wanted to give a shout out to everyone going out to Junkie Gathering. I believe it's next week. It is, because it's my birthday. Everything's going down on my birthday, May 26th. So if you're in Las Vegas or you're thinking about going to Las Vegas, you better stop by the Mandalay Bay Race and Sports Book to visit George and Goes. Hey, and if you got a flag football team, they're interested in playing you. Get in. I know that Josh is going. Josh from Tilsonburg, he's very excited about going. So I wish everybody the best of luck. Galley from Toronto, enjoy yourselves. because I don't know. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to make it out there. I wish I could. I really do. I really wish I could allow these guys to put a face to the name. And, you know, Proteus has been around for a while, calling into the MMA junkie. It's part of my life, man. I'm a junkie. That's why we do this show. I mean, there's no other reason, you know. Anyways, thank you all for listening. Rate, subscribe. Shout out to the Junkie Nation. Shout out to everybody going to the gathering. Thank you very much for listening. It was a combo show, but a little bit weird. We did a little Smack My Picks Up. We did a little Proteus's Primetime show. And now guess what? Just like that.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Excuse me, bitch!